Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Salem Media Group, the station, or its advertisers. Live from Northern California, it's Lifeline with Jesse Gastan. He's the host of Way of Grace, a pastor and a community leader. He's a teacher and an inspiration. He's Lifeline's own Jesse Gastan.
Here we go again on another Monday edition of Lifeline. For those of you who covet this hour in the evening after a long day to hang out with yours truly for a couple of hours, PJ, Pastor Gastan, Grace Bible Church, Hayward, California. Jesse Gastan, to speak properly. Glad to be with you on this Monday, May 12th. 2025. What a bizarre day. I mean, I woke up this morning a little bit fatigued. I mean, we had a great weekend. By the way, first, I want to say happy belated Mother's Day to all of you moms out there that listen to the program, that engage in Christian radio and Christian media of all forms. Happy Mother's Day to you in a belated way. I have been informed that for our Latina brothers and sisters, Mother's Day is the day before Westerners celebrate it. So on Saturday, there was a Mother's Day for our beautiful Latina mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers, what have you. God bless you deeply and profoundly. And the scriptures that remind us of your importance is Psalms 128, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. But they wouldn't be here without you. Without you, mom, they wouldn't be here. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. What a beautiful and wonderful proverb of purpose and design and scope. That is, each one of us have an opportunity, having been engendered by the biological imperative, if you will, and brought into existence by a mom and a dad so far. This won't be the case in a few years, but so far, the normative process of the biological imperative engaging in a conjugal relationship between males and females, the natural process and order by which God populates and replicates the earth, is such that you and I are here, and we're thankful for our moms, because not only did they bear us, but in many ways, they reared us as well, hopefully along with a patriarch who was committed to the task of providing and protecting as well as producing along with mom so that we could be here. I want to just once again thank you for being you, and we're praying for you as we do all the time. Just thankful to that end. The precipitation that came down this morning, good long yet mild rain. It was mild, but it was lengthy. It was kind of tranquil, quite frankly. I think I woke up about 6 o'clock, 6:30. It was a little bit late for me normally. Got on up and meandered throughout the house. Nobody there. My wife leaves early to go work out. And so I got my coffee and sat in front of the computer, began to mull over some of the things I'm working on right now, our studies in the apocalypse. We're dealing with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and I'm teaching the people of God how to see the world through the eyes of the four horsemen, because they are cyclical dynamics that govern the trajectory of our world spiritually, politically, economically, and obviously biologically, something that God has set up to demonstrate his sovereignty and rule over the world. So we're dealing with that. And that being said, there are a number of things I want to call your attention to, just to remind you that we're going to always be dealing with struggles. And we are very much We're very much in the vortex and on the threshold of some serious, serious modifications and changes. We are not in a normal state of things. In terms of economics, there's no way forward for economic growth according to the plans of even our government. You and I will see loss of resources, governmental benefits, including significant job development. You're going to have to be ready to hustle on your own, do whatever you can to cultivate your own income for sustenance and survival. That is where we are. We are in the black horse of famine right now. You must own that and therefore get about the business of tightening up your wallets, finding deals, using frugality to reserve for yourself needful monies and supplies. Definitely, you're going to have to learn how to employ your gardening skills and go natural if you can for all kinds of reasons. I'm going to be talking about shortly Donald Trump's pick for Surgeon General and all the problems that comes with it. And you just need to know, I don't care how much you love the Trumpster and want to worship him, he has a lot of deficits in the area of choosing the right persons for the right job and for the right reasons. That's just the nature of the swamp. He's back in the swamp and he's becoming a swampster. Anyhow, definitely employ your gardening skills and go natural if you can and enjoy the fruits of your labor. May the Lord bless you with the ancestral skill sets. We all have them. You just have to cultivate them and put it to work and save some money. Get out of the matrix of absolutely ungodly high prices that are dominating our markets. I want to give you a spoiler alert along with that that recommendation. Take care of yourself financially. Take care of yourself in terms of income acquisition. Do whatever you need to do. Get the hustle on. Tighten up your wallets, etc. Be frugal about what you gather in terms of monies and supplies. You're going to need them when it gets much more severe, which will happen over the course of this year and next year. Okay. But the spoiler alert, which was an interesting insight to me, I'm still looking into it. Warren Buffett, one of the multi-billionaires in the world, cashes out for $800 million. He takes $800 million out of all of his investments. He's, you know, worth way more than that. But why would a billionaire of Buffett's sagacity, wisdom, insight, success monetarily cash out $800 million, take out $800 million in cash? He holds it in his own possession. Why would he do that? And could it be that he does it because he doesn't trust the digital currency, the Bitcoin propaganda? That's all part of the present and growing economic control plans. Is it possible that Buffett, in his old age, is done lying to the masses of people because somehow he was in the power grab? He's got plenty of enough money to tell the truth now. That is really the other side of wealth. The ability to tell the truth, how much you scammed people and ripped people off and took advantage of insider calling and all of the stuff that goes on Wall Street. But finally, you get a little bit of a conscience and you start telling people you need to do this, do that, and the other. And he's going to walk it out. His halakha is that he is going to cash out $800 million. Already has done it. He's got it in his possession. Now, let's just think for a moment before we go to break. What that means, okay? That is the black horse. That is the scales of balance, the ability to buy and sell. I'm going to be talking about that. Very dangerous times we're in right now, particularly in the Trump administration, and you need to know, and he needs to know what we are headed up against so he can curtail his lying to the American people. But Warren Buffett probably is setting up the cash so that once our cash system is finally apparently broken at the level of we can't print any more money. Can't print it. The American people can't afford it. We can't even pay the deficit, let alone the debt. And so, excuse me. And so what he is doing is probably setting enough cash in order to start several on the ground businesses that will already put him in a position to start right away. If all of the other fools are buying into the digital banking system because they understand that it really amounts to control, not possession of wealth, digital money is not money at all. It's the delusion of the minds of the masses under the control of the International Monetary Fund, the banking system. Digital currency is a mockery and a laughable mechanism that really is saying that we don't have real money and you guys are slaves of a fiat system that we are imposing upon you to keep it looking like you have a viable income relationship with the economy, but you don't. We're really slaves in that regard. So Buffett is doing something that's extremely alarming. You need to check into it. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. A number of things I'm going to talk about on our way throughout the program. In the second hour, I will take your phone calls. The Monday edition of Lifeline, the number 1-888-367-5329, 1-888-367-5329. I'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
Indeed, we are back. The time is 5:20 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. And I was talking before the break about where we are in terms of our economics and where we are in terms of the government's agenda with Donald J. Trump. And I was telling you about Warren Buffett's peculiar move to withdraw $800 million cash dollars out of his multi-billion dollar estate. And I think what he's doing is preparing for the ugly part of what you have been told for a long time is the crash of our economy. But understanding the sociological ramifications of that kind of doomsday speech, which we've been talking about since 2016 or so, because we thought for sure that we were going to see it somewhat more significantly during the COVID scam that was taking place, the plandemic. We know what it is now, so you can just say it for what it is, even though the Biden administration tried to press hard upon us to buy into the Wizard of Oz lie. That was going on at that time, and many of us were able to pierce the valence and see that the emperor had no clothes, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and even hundreds of very good platforms and sites and doctors and professionals, as you know, having listened to me from that time, that were willing to lose their jobs, change their careers, and find themselves on the right side of humanity, waging war against the globalist system that thought it could power us into absolute capitulation to what is representative of and symbolic of absolute slavery through the kill shot. We know that. It's coming back again, and I'll show you why in a minute. But the whole point of the emergency use authority was to allow for the confiscation of so much wealth during the 4 years that from 2016 to 2020 or 2020, yeah, 2020 till 2022, 23, as we were dealing with the so-called mandates, which had all kinds of legal ramifications, as you do know. But mostly, I don't even really care as much. I do care. I do. I do care about the implications of the imposition of an unconstitutional crisis mandate that was clearly predicted by his name will come shortly. I'll get it. Anyhow, he's a Jewish lawyer, very prominent. He was debating with JFK Jr. Dershowitz. And Dershowitz was saying that he felt as if the government has a right to arbitrarily set aside the Constitution of the United States in the face of a real danger, such as a pandemic, and therefore bring everyone into compliance one way or the other. He was so prescient in what he said because Biden tried to do it. But what the world discovered in that whole fiasco is that You can set up a game plan to lie to the whole human race, which is what they did. And they did it many times before. The human race did not recognize when they did it. They did it at the AIDS epidemic as well. The same players in the CDC, FDA, and Fauci, so many things. Wise people know this. People on the inside, in the government, know that it was a scam perpetrated to bring about harm. And ultimately, as I'm teaching our people, why does our governments around the world do all these crazy things? These are planned obsolescence. It's about controlling population. If you really want to know, at the end of the day, this is about population control in order that other agendas can actually proceed with little tension. And to my point, with 8 billion people on the planet, somewhere around that, a significant portion of that 8 billion, billion people did not buy into the scam. I know you saw cameras everywhere around the world giving you all of these Hollywood presentations of a successful campaign and getting the jab. And there were hundreds of millions of people that did it. But that is a far cry from billions of people. And so what the sociologists who are bought and paid for by the big pharma medical industry and the Department of Defense in Washington, D.C. discovered. They discovered that, one, you can't fool all of the people anytime. That's one. So it's not true you can fool all the people some of the time. No, you can't fool all of the people anytime. There's going to be someone who slows down, read the tea leaves, exercise critique and analysis, deconstruction, and then an assessment that the integrity of the proposition, whether it's a warning, a threat, or whatever, is not worthy of a kind of bowing down in a divine worship and prostration before the government. Now, this is the inheritance we received from the founding fathers, right? Our fundamental right to freedom. It emerged in many of us, and we rose up and said, no, I'll step back. And many people suffered for it. Praise God who pours his blessings upon such people who are willing to stand up for what was right, even though they were beat down and ridiculed and scorned, as was I, by so many people, as if somehow we were betraying the human race. No, we weren't. We were standing as shields in front of the world saying, hey, the emperor has no clothes on. And I'm saying that again today. The emperor still has no clothes on because when we finally discovered the criminal behavior of Fauci, the criminal behavior of the CDC, the criminal behavior of the FDA, the only thing the government did was double down and then upon the loss of this particular election and Donald Trump entering back in, we just put some new heads in there. My boy, Jay Bhattacharya, he's in there, but he's fit to be tied. I know it. He sees snakes everywhere. Snakes everywhere in the NIH. Snakes everywhere. He's a good man. Ladies and gentlemen, please let me let you know, with every legitimate criterion by which I can affirm anyone and proffer anyone, Jay's a believer. I'm talking about a solid believer. I'm not talking about in name only. He is more than a conservative. He's not your political ease type of Christian. He's a very discerning man. And if you know him, you know that he fought this from the beginning. And Stanford, to its shame, I really had a lot of respect for Stanford University, the University of Stanford, before the Walking Dead, Living Dead began to walk the corridors and hallways and classrooms and what have you at Stanford, and we realized that they have been just as contaminated with a wicked globalist ideology to impose upon human beings freakish propositions that have no basis in real science. And just because you have power to do it, you shut down anybody that just says, hey, wait a minute, let's examine this, which is what your Bible tells you to do. prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Do not simply follow a multitude to do evil. You remember that? Do you remember how many times I told you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it? You are free men and women. Walk in the virtue of freedom. Remember what the founding fathers said? Freedom without virtue is a curse. Why are we walking around as free people? Not to just bow and cower at the drop of the hat on the part of an authority that is abusing their position and operating out of massive malfeasance. No, we have every right to raise questions, respectfully ask them to give us proof as to why they want us to sacrifice our life, sacrifice our children's life, which is exactly what happened. I wish I had time to read some of the articles that I still keep up with you guys in terms of the medical data that's out there with regards to what the jabs did and what the government is still doing with the jabs. But there's so much to talk about, and I want to make sure that I get to a few more points in that regard. I will certainly say that we are grievously saddened by everyone that took the shot and everyone that got hurt by the shot. We are grievously saddened because they knew that that would happen. They knew it. Big Pharma knew it. Pfizer knew it. Moderna knew it, all right? They all knew that these shots brought about harm because in the short testing they did, which they didn't do long enough to allow for a real legitimate assessment of the harm done, they shut it down because they knew that you could demonstrate minimal damage, minimal harm from these jabs in less than 6 months. After 6 months, all bets are off. And so what did we see? We saw all kinds of stuff, which your media tried to hide from you, but because of the freedom of the independent press, which I thank God for, we were able to see the truth. And the vast majority of people said, no, we're not doing that. We have loved ones, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, moms and dads, completely impacted right away. We're not delusional. This is not some kind of mass psychosis on the part of some crazy people. We know what we saw. One day they're good. Next day they're not. And RFK Jr. right now is just disappointing so many people. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that when I come back. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. Let's tell the truth. I'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
So much is going on by way of propaganda. So much is going on by way of propaganda. And the combinatorial explosion of the mind. This is a term in what is called cognitive theory. Combinatorial explosion is what happens when you get too much information put in front of you at one time, and you have a kind of a crash of your decision-making system, and you're not able to make a right choice. We saw that during the COVID scandal, and many of us were trying to inform people and gathering together, collating, assessing different resources and programs and platforms. If you guys recall, I did a weekly Wednesday presentation of what I would consider germane and relevant videos that were the products of men and women trying to blow the trumpet on what was going on in that period of time, that mass delusion, that mass deception, that mass control agenda. And we got so much material because people were excited to actually bring another angle, deal with it from a different perspective, and show people what's going on behind the scenes, that this is not a sort of innocent mistake that the FDA and CDC has made. Not at all. This is a long-term agenda, long-term agenda. So now why am I once again bringing up the COVID jab? Because it cannot be forgotten. I'll say this. Let's see. How can I frame it? You got a certain group of people. There are good Jewish brothers and sisters. Not all of them are good. Certainly not all of them are bad. I'll talk about that in a minute. But they have pledged to let the world know that they're never going to forget what happened in Auschwitz, never going to forget what happened in Germany, never going to forget what happened under the Hitlerian regime of the absolute atrocities committed against the Jewish people. So we are aware of it. All kinds of modalities keep it in the forefront of our mind because they have assessed that they will not once again go through this kind of mass attempt at genocide. That's fine. I totally get that. I hope that all of the different ethnic groups that were harmed and almost destroyed by Western hegemony have the right to do the same thing. Right, the Houthis and the Tutsis, the Hutus and the Tutsis, and many other groups of people around the world. You know them, right? The different folks who have been almost completely mass slaughtered by our government's agenda, CIA, MI6, and the Department of Defense as well. All of the intelligentsias across the world seeking to dominate lands and resources by espionage. I hope they have their opportunity because, you know, blood slaughter is what the red horse does. And then it comes in with the black horse to control the economics. And so it brings about artificial famines and pestilences and sicknesses and what? The pale horse is what they try to do with the COVID shot. They tried with the COVID shot to estimate the killing of 100 million people, 200 million people, even maybe up to 500 million people. You know, we've still got 6-7 billion people. We could survive that. That's what they thought. That certainly would have been put such a cramp on the conscience of men and women and powered them into a level of demonic fear that the governments all around the world in lockstep with a very comprised media blitz, completely controlled from the top, using the same language, same talking points, the same way like robots. There probably were tons of bots going on at that time as well. And people were like, 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Animal Farm, all ready to just kowtow and do what the big one-eyed devil tells you to do. And fortunately, God intervened to give human beings that sense of boldness to stand up and say, we're not taking it anymore. And so the plan had to stop. It had to stop because people just were not doing it. And by the way, whenever the wicked engage in the harming of human beings, whenever the wicked employs a totalitarian, fascistic, sadomasochistic agenda on the masses, it starts way up at the top in the clouds where you can't see the puppet masters who control the peons that sit in our government offices, who then take the policies and the agendas that come from the different corporate interests, including the medical industry, particularly the medical industry, because medicine itself is the evolution of alchemy and perverse, Gnostic, unbiblical, non-Christian teaching. I know you think it has its origins in a much more biblical view, but we know that medicine has been around way before Christianity. We know this, but it has had to filter its way through the Red Cross and the Blue Cross and all of the other front companies and make its way into the diabolical dimensions of technology that has the ability to modify the human genome. You know this. We're dealing with a massive spiritual warfare here on the part of a satanic system pursuing human beings down to the cellular level. This is no longer merely a battle in the heavens. This is no longer merely a battle between the satanic dragon system and Michael and his angels. in that beautiful display of apocalyptic language coming out of Daniel, Zechariah, and the apocalypse. We're dealing with that now. We're talking about the warfare that is penetrating into the unseen dimensions of your cellular structure, your actual genome, you and I at the DNA level. And the RNA level, as you know, it's mRNA technology that's being employed to somehow be a health regimen for your sicknesses. You should not buy it. You should not buy it. But what we also do know, and as much as there were like all kinds of people that woke up during that time and had to suffer the painful backlash of family members thinking somehow we were under a delusion, it did slow down and stave it off, but many people succumb. And many people are still deceived by it, even as I speak now. Many people are still deceived by the government as I speak now. As I speak now. And what we know about the shot is, and you can take this to the bank, your immune system, if you took the jab one, two, or three times, was impacted. That's the clear, ubiquitous, non-controversial takeaway, as there are many takeaways from the mRNA technology, but your immune system was made to shut down and collapse. Not to mention other bizarre adjuvants inside the vials and the SV40 protein that was in there, a very problematic protein found in there that causes cancer, and we've already had to admit, which we warned about for a long time, that cancer was going to explode after the jab, explode. So every day that you and I have a relatively healthy experience, you should count your blessing. Whether you took the jab or not, you need to thank God for a relatively healthy day. Because if you took two or three or four of those shots in the name of keeping a job, it was almost equivalent to what we're dealing with in Revelation 13. I'm going to unpack that more fully. I've got one more thing to say about this jab thing hasn't gone away. The serpent, after he tested Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew's gospel says, and Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, tried. And Mark's gospel says he was driven by the Spirit of the Lord into the wilderness to be tried of the devil for 40 days. After he was tested by the devil on three occasions, three categories, you know them, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. After Christ summarily dismissed the devil using the word of the living God, standing on his identity, the devil left him for a season and then came back in another modality, through another method, through another entity, namely the rulers of the Israeli community, the religious rulers. Religious rulers of the Israeli community, the Jewish community, and Jesus summarily defeated them too. Well, the diabolics of your World Health Organization is coming back at you too. Not this time in the name of the jab so much, but a patch. A patch. I'll talk about it after this break. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FORKFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. We'll definitely get at your phone calls in the second hour. This is the way I want to kind of sum up and warn you about how the snake works, how the devil works, how governments work. Governments are necessary evils. This is what the founding fathers said. And very seldom do governments ever really take their citizens first. So even though we hear make America great again and America first, okay, you've been warned. You've been warned, okay? The only way America can really be great like the founding fathers imagined it is that every citizen take up their responsibility to be knowledgeable about their Constitution, about the Bill of Rights, about the state of the Union, and about what's taking place to manipulate you, distract you, control you, confiscate your wealth, and then dominate you through your own money, because that's what's happening right now to our world. All right, so the problem for the Trumpster, Mr. Donald J. Trump, here's his problem. He can't shake it. Even if he meant well, which I believe he meant some well, but a lot of the well that he meant was really framed for consumption. He's a salesman, just like Zelensky is an actor. A homosexual actor at the level of the presidency in a movie, and then he shows up in real life as the president of Ukraine. How about that for them apples? If we're not dealing with the Truman story, I don't know what we're dealing with. And here comes the Trumpster coming off of TV into politics and people buying it too. This is all called the developmental strategy of creating a popularist leader, who can do whatever he wants. Trump has said so many things outragingly that he is compelled to do, like he does not feel like he has to obey the Constitution. Well, there you go. You know, in another era, the whole society would be up in arms about a man that would even think about it, let alone say it out loud. But you and I are so far down the line of being set up for the New World Order and a fundamentally centrist government that has no constitutional moorings whatsoever. The problem for the Trumpster is that he cannot shake the money, power, and fame. The money, the power, and the fame that comes with a corporatocratic, digitally controlled New World Order set of leaders like your Musk and your Teals and your Zuckerbergs and the many others that are already establishing and framing and constructing a digital biosecurity state system. They're already putting it together. Trump has already given them the permission to do it. He can't get away from them. Digitally controlled New World Order leaders are, as we are speaking, setting up blockchain dominant systems of media control, of conversation control, like Orson Welles put it, the thought police punishing you if you think wrong and let alone say wrong. So the Trumpster is struggling with the deep state. Some of the snakes that are still running in the deep state going after him. He's bound by, again, the folks that he was attracted to who poured tons of millions of dollars into his presidency. And once again, people don't want to admit now that their man is in office. I wrote this in an article, part of what I'm teaching concerning the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The deception of America is that we believe that our government is good. That's the deception. Yep, that's the deception. And we're doing that over against the explicit teachings of Scripture. Your Bible does not proffer the position that human beings are good, but that they're sinful, that they're wicked and given to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, of which our master was tested by the devil, because men will capitulate. Ask Job. He didn't know, but that the father was having a conversation with the snake, and the snake said, touch his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. That is humanity apart from the grace of God. And yet we want to buy into a mythical notion that our government is good. It's not. And then the left-right politics that we are so inextricably connected to, which is a problem for me. You know, the pendulum swings to the left and everybody on the right says the left is bad. Joe Biden is bad. Kamala Harris is bad. Obama is bad. Clinton is bad. And they're right. But when the pendulum swings back to the right, they don't want to say Trump is bad. They don't want to say Bush is bad. They don't want to say Reagan is bad. They don't want to say Nixon is bad. They want to say that the right is good and the left is bad. That's your delusion. They're both on the same team. So again, the problem for the Trumpster is that he has to navigate a constellation of men and women who are really globalist. Some of y'all get that. And one of them is his choice for, head of the healthcare, and that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who basically recommended for Surgeon General this female named Casey Means and her brother. You got to do some work on her. You got to do some work. You'll find out that she is a dyed-in-the-wool World Economic Forum implant to push what is called the patch. It's called a bio-wearable patch. That is a euphemism for the kill shot, the bio-wearable patch. What is that, PJ? It is that multi-fanged circular it's in the shape of a battery, like your watch battery, and it has micro fangs in it. You guys remember I sent you those presentations over and over and over again. This was already in the works years ago, the little micro fanged patch that would be placed on your arm or on your shoulder that would inject all of the data and information and technology and nanoparticle technology needed to read all of your bios. Well, it's here now. It's here. It's here. And what you have not seen is RFK Jr. really take on the task of what happened with the COVID shot. In fact, he hasn't taken any of the material down off of the CDC that's of any substantial significance, like the idea of 72 shots for your children over the span of 18 years, probably more than that now. He hasn't done a thing about it. You know, he rode on the coattails of many of us who were hoping that he would be willing to tell it, but he got in there and capitulated because he's controlled by the same people that the Trumpster is controlled by. So you're not going to see any radical changes for the good because this is not about America first. I'm here to tell you, I know you don't like it, but I've told you before you didn't like it then. Get over not liking it. It's the truth. It's just the truth. Ms. Casey Means and her brother, it's already been exposed by very good journalists, very good independent journalists, medical doctors, technicians, top-of-the-line surgeons. I've seen many of the presentations. You got to do your own work. I'm not going to always, give it to you on a plate because you're called to. Our church will get that this week, Lord willing. I'm dealing on Sundays with the seven marks of a spirit-filled church. The seven marks of a spirit-filled church, a truly spirit-filled church. I'm not talking about a noisy, emotional church. That's not what it means to be spirit-filled. I am talking about a passionate church. I am talking about a disciplined church. I'm talking about a wise church. I'm talking about a committed church, a church ready to ride the waves of the ship of Zion through the storms of the wicked one. I am talking about that. I'm talking about a church that knows how to rejoice forevermore, a church that knows how to be persistent in its prayer life, a church that knows how to give thanks from the inside and really mean it, a church that is committed to submission to the true presence, power, protection, provision, and punishment of the Holy Ghost, who is the resident Lord. A church that understands what it means to not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy, and those two go hand in hand. Prove everything. That's a spirit-filled church. Prove everything. The church doesn't have the luxury of turning its eye to evil and wickedness and malfeasance in the world. It has the light of the Spirit of God. It has the light of the Word of God. It has the mandate to be prophetic and preach to the world that God sees everything. And when you don't do that, you are in danger of the greatest judgment. I'm speaking to preachers now because I've told you, after congressmen, the lower parts of hell is reserved for lawyers. But there's a lower part of hell burning even more heatedly, if I can use that phrase, for preachers who don't tell the truth in Jesus' name. Hell burns hottest for preachers like me. And all these cats doing all of these antics and performances in the pulpit. Hell is reserved for you, preacher. To whom much is given, much is required. The man that knew more of the Lord's will be punished more severely. So you won't get away. You won't get away, preacher. You won't get away. You won't be able to tell the Lord, I didn't know. You did know. And if you didn't, you're guilty for not knowing, because you should have known. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. All right. I already told you her name is Casey Means. Do your work. Some of you guys on my feed, you guys know I'll be sending you this stuff so you can do your work, because the snake is going to come back after another season, another way to still get inside your skin so he can control your genome and mess with your head and control the way you think, feel, talk, and act so he can be your master. Got to take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. The time is 6:07. I gave you a lot to think about. There's a whole lot on my list here. I remember when Rush Limbaugh was doing his show. I think he did a 3-hour show, and he would talk about he couldn't get to everything. There's so much. There is so much. All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with Leslie on line number 2. Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Jesse.
Hey, what's going on, young lady? Talk to me.
Okay, so as many of you know, Alameda County Star Search, our goal is civic education, civic engagement, and civic leadership. So one of the things that we are doing is we hold meetings all over Alameda County, primarily in the public libraries, and provide a lot of civic education. Yep. Our next meeting is this Saturday at the Hayward Public Library at 10:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. It's at 10:30 a.m. right here off of Mission, you guys. I think it's C Street. Beautiful, brand new, refurbished library that I'm looking at out of my palatial office windows on the top of the skyscraper in a Hayward off of B Street. It's called the first level. It's only one level. In any event, this Saturday, Leslie and Tom, will Tom be there?
Yes.
Okay. They will be engaging you, hungry Americans who are wanting to learn, be educated in our constitutional rights and how to be involved locally, be engaged in our constitutional rights and how to turn things around locally, and therefore engage in what the founding fathers really meant for us to do, and that is to be leaders. I think I'm going to have to do a whole show on that. I'm going to probably get Tom on. We'll just talk about why we have to be involved, and if not, fundamentally game is over, and that does not mean that we are not bringing our Christian witness and testimony to the table. We are, but this is not a Christian nation per se. We are just Christians in this nation. That means we would also want other persons and other people of different persuasions to also be involved, since they live here and they work here and they are our friends and they are our relatives and they are our co-workers. So many people from so many different backgrounds. I'm not speaking for Leslie and Tom in that regard, but I hope they have the same sentiments, because people of all kind need to be involved simply because we are taxpayers. And if we have qualms with what's going on, we need to be dealing with it. So this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the Hayward Library off of Mission Boulevard by C Street, easy to find, just Google it, the Hayward Library, Leslie and Tom will be dropping the scoop on how to get involved, how to participate, how to understand what our rights are, privileges, and responsibilities in terms of local politics. I hope you guys would be willing to join. What is the email address, Leslie?
Okay, so I'll say it and then I'll spell it. So okay. It's tomwongusa@gmail.com, and it's spelled TOMWONGUSA tomwong@gmail.com.
That's right. It's Tom Wong, USA. Very easy. TOMWONG. That's what I love about Asian names. Very simple. Most of them are singular, maybe double syllables here and there, maybe even a triple one every now and then, although I don't remember anyone. TomWongUSA@gmail.com. Very easy to remember, you guys. TomWongUSA@gmail.com. And they have a lot of information and resources there too that you can kind of like just sit behind your computer desk and be informed. I'm sure they will get back with you as well. I know Tom and Leslie, they would be more than willing to kind of walk you through if you're just wanting to put your feet in the water behind screen, but definitely we want people to come out. So looking forward to seeing how that class goes this Saturday, Leslie. Thanks for the call. We'll catch up with you later.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
All right, let's go to line number one and start with Jermaine before we pull out. Jermaine, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, man, let's chop it up for 3 minutes before I go to break. What's on your heart, mind, and thoughts?
You know what? You said a lot of profound things, and I was kind of thinking, reflecting, especially with the COVID years, I was just wondering your opinion on the attitude of some people who are still kind of stuck in that mode where I still see them walking around and driving in their cars with their mask on, and still some people thankful that they didn't die in the pandemic. But I was looking at how people actually were thinking during that time and just wondering if it wasn't the kind of brainwashing that was going on that still has effects to this day, because a lot of people seem to have been fooled because they didn't know they were being fooled. And I know that's very spiritual, like you alluded to earlier, but you know, I was even thinking if I had a plantation back in the day, I think I might have had the best one, because I would make sure my slaves thought that they were, you know, just semi-free. I wouldn't be too hard on them. I'd make them comfortable enough to not actually question what it is they're in. And I kind of see parallels of that right now. I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on some of that.
Yes, this is a very interesting subject. The way that I would put it, first of all, and I want to make sure I get back to the slave analogy, because I was listening to Hillsdale College, and you and I know that Hillsdale College is trying to do what it can to be faithful to history and to the Constitution and things like that. And the president of Hillsdale College made an observation I want to bring to the table, at least after the break, if not now. The one thing that is controlling the masses of the world, this is ubiquitous, this is everywhere, this is spiritual, this is social, this is carnal, this is psychological, and it's called fear, phobia. That's the Bible. That's Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, who through fear all their lifetime was subject to the bondage of death. And so fear is a tool of the devil to control men and women at the level of dislodging their sense of reason, their sense of rationale, and their sense of responsibility to pursue the truth that I talked about in the previous break. So men and women don't want to pursue the truth when they're controlled by fear, because they don't want to have to deal with the fact that they are responsible for their own destiny. Now, there are a lot of gymnastics that get played in that category, but it's certainly fear. You and I know that, because the devil and the serpent decided to kill Jesus, and they knew in smiting the shepherd, the sheep would flee. And when you have a society of men and women who are not grounded in God's word, they might know it in their empty cranium, but they don't know it in the depths of their soul to walk in it as their identity. As a rule, and I'm talking about the general people who are mystified and stupefied by the mythos of our media. They have no way of overcoming this. If they haven't been trained early to overcome the lie, the Mott and Bailey switch, the Barnum and Bailey circus, the three card Molly scam that goes on in our system, period, on the streets or in the Senate. If they haven't discovered that, you know, people lie to them and they have to be prudent and discerning, then they're just the gullibles. Then we have the other people who are doing it out of ignorance and partial misinformation. They are trapped by it for all kinds of reasons as well. And then there are other categories that I definitely want to talk about as a tad after the break. So hold on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go a little deeper into why people can be imprisoned in their own minds. The Monday edition of Lifeline. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. JR and Lex. Lex or JR, I will see you guys on Thursday evening, Lord willing, so you guys can pass that to each other. Going back to Jermaine, the phenomena that you and I are watching is simply a mass control, mass hypnosis. This is a mass manipulation. This is your fundamental outcome when enough of the propaganda has penetrated into the psyche of men and women that depending on where they are or where they were during that time. And again, mass psychosis is going on all the time in our media anyway, predictive programming, all kinds of techniques to cause people to be either paralyzed, misguided, if you will, or trapped, just unable to do anything other than capitulate to our government. We have, and I know some of you know this because we keep up with the technology. We have technology today that can absolutely stop people in their tracks and cause them to think thoughts that did not originate from their own stem cell, from their own neurological framework. We have the ability to insert into people's craniums ideas and voices. This is going to be a tool employed in the near future. It's used in biological warfare, in mass fifth generation warfare. And that's what they employed to line people up with great avarice and expectation. People just stuck their arms out, their wives, their kids, their grandkids, cats and dogs. And so the outcome has been is that this was training number one. I remember telling us, it looks like we are in a psych ward. It looks like we are in a prison camp. And like you said, Jermaine, even though it's a kind of soft, tyrannical, outdoor prison scenario without the apparent gates there, that is called the illusion of freedom. The illusion of freedom, as some of the much more erudite psychologists have called America. America is the illusion of freedom. And people want to feel like they're free even when they're not. But as soon as the government barks at them through different bureaucratic resources, they cower again. And this is where, you know, I mean, this is not hard to understand, you guys. Please hear this. Again, these are the tactics that the devil has used from the beginning. This is the tactic that was used against Christ just a week before his crucifixion. They were screaming in the thousands, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Yeshua has come to save us. 6 days later, crucify him, crucify him. We want Barabbas. That's all that you need to know. And sadly, this includes religious folks. So often I hear the question, well, do saved people, you know, do saved people suffer these kind of defaults to deception and manipulation? Absolutely. That's your Bible. That's your Bible. And except those days be shortened, even the very elect would be utterly and totally deceived. And all Christ is talking about there, you guys, in Matthew 24, Luke 17, Mark 13, is the thalipses, the pressure of the times. See, there it is. You get it. The pressure of the times causes men and women's hearts to grow cold. The fire is put out because iniquity abounds and because people are trapped by fear and because they really don't have a robust commitment to God's word. And they don't have the filter or valence to be able to see behind these manifestations, the intelligentsia and manipulation of the media, the mob, the masses, to understand it for what it is. So they're walking in darkness, groping in darkness. Your Bible is so absolutely accurate on these things. So there's no mystery here. Except Christ deliver men and women from these strong delusions, they will believe a lie until they perish. Did that make sense, Jermaine? All right, we dropped Jermaine. That's okay. All right, can we go to line number three? Line number three. Pick up James on line number three before we go to Ken. James, are you there?
Hey, PJ, I'm here. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. What's your thoughts?
Man, it's a lot of them. But I'm going to try to one concise one I'm trying to get to is that, and I'm more enough, no, not one, because you were on Trump earlier, and I get it. You know, propaganda-wise, you know, I don't listen to it, but I know the media has never done him a favor. So whatever he's doing it against all the odds. You mentioned earlier, and I was going to ask you to mention one of the constitution that he's violating by what he's doing. I don't know. That's why it's good that Leslie and Tom are starting those classes so we can be more educated on which one. I know you know which one he's violating. I don't know, because what I've been reading says he's well within his rights with Article 2. See, I don't know all those things yet.
That's right. That's exactly right. No, that's why people will have to have be reeducated, because our presidents have violated the Constitution on many levels for years. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights are not easy to interpret, right? And so when we go, well, he's violated the Constitution, one set of lawyers will say yes, another set of lawyers will say no, but I'm simply taking what he has said in his own words, because I've seen all the arguments, and they're there. You can actually find really good independent platforms, James, that will talk about this. This is not even the more visceral thing. My argument would not be that Trump is violating the Constitution, because they all have done it. Whenever you go to war with someone and you don't get full Senate approval, that's a violation of Constitution. There are all kinds of articles that demonstrate the lack of wisdom and the danger of that kind of fiat judgment. But we've been conditioned to that. Most of the wars we're fighting are not wars that the Constitution has actually advocated. The Constitution never advocated us being the aggressor against any other country on the planet at any time. So there's a whole lot there. I would say that what you're going to find out pretty soon is that this is going to be part of the emergence of the beast, ultimately. Remember, the beast that was and is not and is about to emerge and go into perdition in Revelation chapter 17, around verses 9 through 11. That beast is about to emerge, and what he is going to appear to be for everybody for whom this matters, particularly in the West, because we tout being a lawful sort of self-governing country. We are a country of rules. This is a myth. The rules are arbitrary. The rules are man-made. They're not biblical. Men don't follow biblical rules. They're not following Romans 13. So we're going to have to overcome that myth. But the devil is going to help us overcome it, because he is the lawless one. That is the term in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that we'll be unpacking in about 3 weeks or maybe four at the most. The lawless one. The one who rises up and takes God's place and showing himself as if he's God, the signs and wonders, the lying signs and wonders that will proceed from a hybrid of government and religion will deceive the world even more fully and more effectually than what me and Jermaine were talking about in the previous break, James. The deception is already growing massively in that people are being apathetic, they're being distracted, they're being cowardice. They have no hunger for truth that they might be able to see through the lie, that they might stand on the righteousness of Christ. Because if we are truly illuminated, then we're going to be having conversations like this everywhere throughout the world, because that's how you withstand darkness. You withstand darkness by the light of truth claims. And so the goal of the adversary is to take the truth away from men and women. This is what we'll unpack next Sunday, and leave them ignorant of his lawlessness, and he will be an autocratic. It will be an autocratic system of governance over the world that totally rejects the Bible. And at the end of the day, that becomes the law that we need to be careful of, because man-made laws are very fragile. They are very fluid. And like I said, lawyers are going to argue on all sides. And that would be a distraction for you and me as well, James, that if we put our total hope in a set of constitutional principles, which the founding fathers did not mean for us to do, they just gave us a framework. They actually knew how fragile the scaffolding of the Constitution was. They knew how diabolical lawyers could be and men could be in manipulating Constitution and amendments in the Bill of Rights to do what they want to do. And men are doing that, as did the monarchy and the parliament in their day. That's what we're wrestling against. So we got to go deeper on that. Got to go deeper. I got to take a hard break. Brother, you know this conversation will continue. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We are back, and I want to actually go to line number 4 and open up a conversation with Ken. While I'm doing that, Ken, you can just listen. What the three forms of our governmental system, the legislative, executive, and judicial branch, are designed to do is to keep any one of those branches from exceeding constitutional balance. And so they're supposed to wrestle. They're supposed to engage. They're supposed to debate what kind of policy should be implemented at any time. And so what's going on with the Trumpster, which is what went on with Biden, what went on with Obama, what went on with many of them going way back. This is not unusual with presidents. They will employ their powers in ways that sometimes just flat out circumvent the legislative branch. And one of the problems with what Trump has done coming in is he has engaged in a level of executive orders that basically completely nullified the participation of the legislative branch. Now, the only thing I want to say with that is that as much as people will argue on the conservative side, independent side, as well as, maybe balanced liberals, is that even though he may have the right to do it, he should not do it. It's like being in a community of senators and elders and just every day not even telling them what he's doing, just doing it, and not even asking for their advice, not even getting any kind of assessment. Now, again, this is the deception as well that falls on the left-right narrative of our political system. Whenever any one of the branches, DOD, executive branch, judicial branch, and of course the legislative branch can't do much because they're in there to get a paycheck from Big Pharma, and that's what they do. But basically they can rah-rah and holler and scream and go to the media if they wanted to make the president unpopular. Generally, what happens with a president, you guys, is he will lose his popularity with the people and then ultimately be pushed out or threatened to be pushed out by impeachment. This is not good for the state of America, period, because this is what produces populists. This is what produces individuals that at some point the masses will lean into a much more fascist, totalitarian system. This is what turns citizens into hostile on the ground adversaries with each other. You cannot have this kind of visceral divisiveness and expect us to one day just wake up in unity. As the scripture says, if the rulers be wicked, the people will also be wicked. James, what's your Ken, what's your thoughts?
Hey, Pastor Jesse, I was wondering what your thoughts are about the new Pope, Robert Prevost from Chicago.
Yeah, very, very, thank you. I have been doing a kind of shadow following him since he's been elected. And I thought, okay, what a strategy. Because I don't see these as disconnected systems. If we had a longer time, I would definitely assert that the papacy, particularly moving through the Reformation period, up till now has been extremely involved in the Western hegemonic imperialist colonialist agenda throughout the West, even into the Middle East, being a strategic part of that at many levels. I can tell you that now. They know that, and the people that might be privy know what I'm saying as well. So the Catholic Church is not disengaged at all from politics behind closed doors. They're deeply involved. And each pope has a, you know, a weighted position, one way or the other, being liberal or conservative. Obviously, Francis was so far off the chain when it came to any kind of conservative position. And then he was able to position himself by getting 85% of the new cardinals in over his time, which is a major power pull that's equivalent to the kind of selection of judges that the president makes before they leave office so that they can get policies and legislation passed that they want to impose upon the American people. And again, as I'm talking, I don't know if you guys don't see this. This is nothing but a slavery by government discussion I'm having with you. At some point, it's going to be clear that we're dealing with a civilized system of slavery, quite frankly, and we're paying for it at the economic level and then being punished if we talk too loud about it as Americans. But the new pope is a moderate liberal, and in many ways, like Francis. And I'm watching to see how much he engages at the political level when it comes to foreign policy and when it comes to American policy. I want to see what he does. He's certainly not going to speak to the so-called flock about behavior and spiritual integrity, because that was basically destroyed by Francis. You probably already know that Francis was just a wide open portal for the LGBTQ agenda. And it's, you know, it's just an atrocity to be that way, because human flourishing does not happen by perversion and departure from the norms that God created in the beginning. But this American pope, this pope from America, is actually a very strategic component in what's about to take place in America, Ken, over the next 3 or 4 years as we head to the 2030 reset, which we're still on course for. I was just talking to you guys about Donald Trump and RFK Jr. Recommending Casey Means as Surgeon General. And if you guys do your research, and I'm going to send a bunch of you guys some information on that, she is a World Economic Forum person, her and her brother. They are highly involved in the tech field, engaged in all of the biologics of the medical industry, completely in the hand of Big Pharma. So in a lot of ways, you guys, you thought picking RFK Jr. was a good thing. He actually opened the door, the back door, for more of the cronies of the World Economic Forum to come in and establish policies. So we will see this emerge either this year or next year. If Trump can quail some of the craziness going on in the Middle East, where he can get just a bit of a handle on the economic downfall of the West, including us here in America, he'll spin it, of course, and make it look not as bad as it is. And then he will be involved in what will be considered the next pandemic or the next medical emergency. So one of the things that RFK Jr. and them are doing is trying to set the American people up to stick their arms out and take more mRNA technology. And she's going to be the face of that and the little scorpion snake poison patch that we have warned people about, which is equivalent to the symbol of the mark of the beast. That patch is going to be the connection between human beings and transmitters that are able to pick up their biosensors and tell them, you know, what their blood pressure is, what their temperature is, and what other organ potential failures are. This is absolute intrusion into your bodies. It's coming, and it's going to come in a short period of time. Now, my having made that observation, Ken, was about the Pope being a dumb shepherd, or like Archbishop Vigano. Archbishop Vigano, if you don't know him, you should, because he's a sheepdog who has been blowing the whistle for years on the deep state, both in America as well as in the Vatican. Archbishop Vigano has been an absolute valiant soldier, of which Francis tried to, fire him and get him removed from his position, because Vigano has told the truth on so many levels. I have a high regard of respect for these kind of bishops who stand up and tell the truth, even within the framework of their Catholic systems. I have a high regard because it costs everyone to tell the truth. And Vigano is about the only one that I know that is willing to say it to the world. We will watch whether this Pope is a quiet, dumb, deaf dog, as Isaiah 59 puts it, right along with the evangelical preachers who keep spouting out the same foolishness and never challenge our government, never challenge our government for its wickedness and its evils. We'll watch and see, Ken, whether he is just docile and harmless, or whether he will be able to move America into a Catholic evangelical union, because that will be a precursor to the Antichrist system being set up in Israel as we speak. What say ye? Oh, by the way, Ken, hold on. I'm going to take a break. I'll finish out with you after the break. You and I have a few more words, and I'll let you air your thoughts after this break. We'll be right back, you guys.
And now, back to Lifeline.
And we are back. The time is 6:50. We've got about 7 minutes to go. All right, Ken, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I wondered about the opposition through Archbishop Vigano and what their opinion was. And also, thanks for bringing out the truth about Casey Beans and RFK. That's really the things that haven't been covered, you know, including by conservatives. So anyway, thanks for the background stuff like that.
Yes, sir. No, I wanted to hear your thoughts about the Pope, if you had one.
Well, no, I don't. That's why I'm asking you, because this hasn't been, evangelicals dismiss him, or they don't say much about what his actual position is. So that's why I wanted to find out, you know, if he's totally following Francis, who essentially was a heretic, or whether he'll at least try to pull back some from that and return to some of the original doctrine.
I agree. I don't think he's going to turn back. I think what Francis did, and Francis is an Antichrist. People will have to learn that. People are in love with Antichrist. Let me just set the stage for that. I'll just use you to close out. So people are in love with Antichrist. They're in love with pseudo Christ, false Christ, emotional Christ, carnal worldly Christ. They're in love with Christ, the kind of Christ that is lawless, that is engaged in the temperament of the world. They love the kind of Christ that Francis proffered. But that is the delusion, the strong delusion of Second Thessalonians, because they did not have a love for the truth that they might be saved. God gave them over to a strong delusion that they should be a lie. The very term lie inherently refers to the Antichrist system, because Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth of God embodied. And so any deviation from the excellencies of the one true and living God revealed in the visible Yahweh, Jesus, Yeshua, Asa himself, anything departing from that is the Antichrist system. And what we must learn is that by fallen nature, by corrupt nature, by deception, by carnality, by fleshliness. We would all be inclined to love a false Christ. And that's explicitly what we saw with Israel collapsing into hatred, demonic rejection of Jesus when they killed him. They said, give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was an insurrectionist. He was a clear villain, and that's what Antichrist is. Jesus said about the Antichrist system in Judaism, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father, you will do them. Do you know them by their fruits? And so as we are watching the world unravel in terms of its immorality, its flawed ethics, its attack on the Imago Dei, its attack on the distinction between males and females, its attack on the family, its attack on a patriarchal model of governance, its attack on the qualitative nature of good biblical men. I see all this stuff, and I see the corruption in the evangelical church at that level too. Its attack on the structure of governance, period, in the world, but particularly in the church. It's effeminizing our men. It's weakening our men. It's emboldening our women to take on a masculine spirit and thus move into positions of absolute authority. Now, you do know, I'm sure you do, Ken, that throughout the history of the papacy, under its very controversial so-called apostolic succession, we could talk about that at length, but they assume that they go all the way back to Peter's see that there were many bogus and wicked and ungodly popes, and a few were able to sneak in, if not just one, who was a female. And that makes all the sense in the world, because the popes took on basically the image and representation of an androgynous male. They took on the form of a male-female, a he-she male, which came out of the model governed by the pagan mystics and the worship of pagan gods in the days of the Corinthians. A lot of your pagan secular priests and priestess were women who were bald-headed or short-haired and free of breasts. This whole image thing is a major, major player in the mind-altering, mind-shaping culture. And look at our world now. Look at how twisted Western society is now. Western society does not represent biblical Christianity. And therefore, people in the East and the Middle East don't respect Western Christianity. This is why Western Christianity has not been able to influence the world with the gospel. All it has been able to do is dominate through the political beast and control the masses of the world with bombs and surreptitious policies. When it comes to the presentation of the character and witness of Jesus Christ, we're not doing well at all. Pagan, as well as mystical and New Age and your Pentecostalism, which completely disregards the integrity of the explicit expository teaching of the Word of God, is just engaged in frivolous emotionalism and mysticism. That is not the qualitative nature of the person of Christ that should show up in the life of Christians around the world. So we're not, the evangelical church is a mess. It's an absolute mess. And I can see why people are running back to that shadow of order and pseudo-structure in Catholicism, because they get to have their cake and eat it too, but at least they have an appearance or a semblance of some kind of order. We are in a mess here, and you guys are going to watch a kind of convergence take place over the next 3 years that's going to blow your mind in terms of setting us up for the ecumenical movement into the centralized Antichrist system under the New World Order, headed up in the Middle East, if Israel has its way, and America will be the beast that supports that revelation. So all you got to do is stay tuned. It's coming to pass, even as we speak, a strong deception, a strong delusion. Men and women who are not committed to truth claims according to the Word of God will be deceived. Masses will be deceived. And truth tellers will be shut up as they were in the days of Christ, in the days of the apostles, in the days of the prophets. You can be religious, You can't take Jesus that seriously. And get that Bible out of here. That's why you have a crazy sort of laughable, farcical thing going on in the White House around religion with Paula White and the rest of those cats. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. This is not biblical Christianity. Humbling is not biblical Christianity. And we're slated to go worse than that. Thank you for the call, Ken. Thank you for the call. God bless you. I can't tell you guys everything. You got to do your work too. You really do. Independent media for the time, because Trump has opened the gate for Peter Thiel and Musk and Zuckerberg to set up things to shut that down in a minute. But while you can, stay up, drink some coffee, and get some insight. GBCHayward@gmail.com. GBCHayward@gmail.com. Until next time, the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace, his shalom in Yeshua, in Asa, in Jesus, in Jesus the Christ.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved.